Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's up, Howard?
Oh, Quint, tis the season to be cold again.
I hate it. I don't like it. It drives me bonkers. This morning was 29 degrees on my run. It's going to be 60 this afternoon. What the heck?
Do you see the fury in my eyes right now?
It's so frustrating.
Have you seen that thing that goes around on Facebook? Love Facebook. From time to time, that's like the 28 seasons in Kentucky or whatever, and it's like fake spring, double fake spring, and then you get to like the fall.
I've not seen it, but yes, it makes
perfect
sense.
I'll send it to you
sense.
The next time a middle-aged woman posts it on my feed. It's amazing. You're going to love it.
Well, it's miserable. I mean, listen, I like that the sun is shining. These are all first world problems, first of all. Let's just make sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I like that the sun is shining. I like that it's going to be 60, but I'm a morning runner. And when I got it, this morning was a super early morning run because I had a super early meeting. And I got up and it's dark and it's cold. And I got the hats and the gloves and the this and the that and the tights.
We're men in tights.
Tights.
The tights?
Yeah, I got to wear
Not
the tights.
Not the tights.
Have to. Can't wear just the shorts. They're going to freeze. It's like
are tights on. The same thing as leggings? You just call them tights because you...
Because I'm never going to say leggings? I don't wear leggings. I wear running pants.
I think tights sounds worse,
I wear running pants. I wear running pants. I don't know. Tights?
We're men in tights.
Yeah, that probably doesn't
I don't
good.
Like tights.
I wear my running pants.
I wear looses.
So anyways, yeah, I don't like it. I'm sick of it. I'm ready for consistent weather. That's all I got to say about that right now.
You know what I'm having a hard time with right now? I'm having a hard time figuring out what the heck I'm supposed to do with my thermostat. Because every day it's like heat, air conditioning, up, down.
Turn it off. That's what I do. My wife drives my wife bonkers. I just turn it off.
I do that sometimes, but then I tried that one day last week. I came home and it was like 78 in my house. It was never even 78 outside, so I don't really know how that happened.
You have a lot of windows? Holy cow.
Yeah, I do have a lot of windows.
I mean, that's
but
impressive.
I just mean, like, it didn't even get... I think the high that day was, like, 72. And I was, like, sweating. I was like, what's going on here?
Well, it's like when you get in your car sometimes. The sun's coming through the glass. It gets a little warmer.
I don't know.
That's a lot. That's a big difference.
Are you a thermostat dad where, like, growing up, it was a huge deal when we adjusted the thermostat?
Can I turn the heat up?
Oh, don't touch the thermostat, Meg, if Father gets upset.
And if I even, like, if the thought of adjusting the thermostat crossed my mind, my dad would get so mad.
I don't think my kids have ever, I don't think, honestly, candidly, if I said to my kids outside of our home, where is our thermostat, they may not even know.
Come on, this thing goes up to 90.
We'll touch the thermostat.
God, how does he always know?
I don't think they
That's
ever,
probably a good thing.
They don't care. They don't look at
my
it.
My dad would, like, freak out if you wanted to turn it up, like, 1 degree.
But that's my
He'd
children.
Be like, the
my,
bill!
My wife, on the other bill! Hand, we have a totally different world. I'm constantly, my wife, you know, I mean, she's of that age. She's going through, she's hot, she's cold, she's hot, she's cold. I mean, it's like every once in a while I'll come downstairs, I can see my breath. I'm like, babe, what are you doing? She's in like a tank top. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And then there's other times it's like I come down, I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh, she's like, I'm so cold, I'm freezing. I'm like, wow, this is ridiculous. So
what do you keep your thermostat set on?
68, 69.
Year round? It doesn't change?
I don't know. Maybe.
That blows my mind. I need to, like, find a Reddit post or something to get more input.
Once you get one of those, I'm surprised you wouldn't be one of those who invested in the, whatever it's called, the fancy ones that Amazon bought.
What
the company that Amazon bought. Nest. A Nest.
What do they do? I thought
what?
It was just so you can do it on your phone.
A what?
Yeah, but it, like, temperature controls. It, like, knows, like, what, I don't know. I think
Isn't that just a thermostat?
No. It's super, apparently, like, a super smart thermostat and adjusts accordingly.
According to what, though?
Like whether you're in the room or not in the room, or how often you use the room. Maybe I'm making that up, but I got it once. We had it one time. It was too complex for me. I'm like, I'm going back. I went back.
Maybe
to
I'll
the
check
dial.
That out.
Yeah, I feel like Daniel has a Nest. I guarantee it.
I'll ask him about it. And he'll go on like a 45-minute rant.
Oh, he's like, yeah, of course, then I've got my house no more zoned. I got it zoned, and I've got this, and I got that. And yeah, no, I don't do
no,
that.
No, what he'll do is look at me and be like, you don't have the Nest?
Yeah.
What
he's like, what?
What do you mean?
What I do is I look at my bill, and then when I get my bill and I'm like, I get ticked off that it's too high, and I go around and I'm like, turn all this off, don't need it. Like, Dad, it's snowing out. Don't care. Don't need it. Shut it down.
I did that in February after it got so cold in January. I was like, this is stupid.
All right, we have got, at some point, we're going to have, because this, you and I, we do this. We're going to have a podcast that's just Quint and Allie communicating. We'll have probably out of our 10,000 downloads, we might have 50. But that's okay. We'll at least be able to communicate and just talk. Or we could go to lunch like normal people.
We could just go to lunch
like normal people.
Say.
All right, can we get on to our question or housekeeping odds and ends?
All right, tell them about the housekeeping.
Housekeeping odds and ends, this podcast sponsored by Joule Financial. Visit us on the web, Joule Financial.com. It's tax season. It's that time of year. You might have filled your taxes out, finalized it, and you were like, what the heck? I need Allie Howard to take a look at this. Mind you, she does not prepare taxes. Not prepare them. She's already done that, been there.
Check.
Has the award.
I made your award.
Deserves an award.
Deserves an award.
That's a hard
job.
Yeah,
she advises on taxes. But anyways, give us a ring. Hit us up on the web and schedule a meeting if you'd like some more information. All right, let's go right to our question today from Courtney. Courtney, what do you got?
DIY!
Hi, DIY Money. This is Courtney from Massachusetts. I'm currently dollar cost averaging into a brokerage account in 529, just small amounts on a monthly basis. But also curious, what do you recommend is the best way to monitor the market if I have some small sums of money that I want to continue to put in on days when the market's down? Thanks so much. Bye.
Buying low, selling high. I like the idea. Kind of a fool's game, but I do like the general idea. Well, first of all, Courtney, you mentioned, and I'm just curious, maybe you have kids, you've entered a brokerage account and a 529. Curious about that. Maybe you're saving to go to school for yourself, or maybe you've listened to the episode about future Roth conversion. You were like, I'm going to get on that train. I don't know. So I'm just going to, first of all, dollar cost averaging, phenomenal, equal payments, you know, on a monthly basis or what have you. I think you got to be very careful about. And again, I'm not faulting the general idea. I think you have to be very careful of, you know, the idea of, hey, it's down, I'm going to buy when it's down and not buy when it's up and that sort of thing. There was an interesting study put out by J.P. Morgan just recently. Somebody was talking about that talked about the 3, 6, 9, 12 and like 1 year and 4 year performance after buying at an all-time high. And it was actually higher than buying any other day. And I went back and I was like, well, how is that possible? It doesn't make sense. Well, the reality is that that person could have bought and then saw a loss and then taken out or something along those lines. I'm guessing what they kind of, I don't know, maybe it wasn't investor average. Anyways, whatever. The point is that it's a fool's game to try to time it. Now, but you didn't ask necessarily about that. You asked about just tracking the market. So I think that's a great I think that's something great to get involved in if, in fact, you like that. And I believe almost every phone nowadays comes with a stocks app and built in there. Like, I think when I first got my iPhone, it had the stocks app. And I don't use this, but and I'll tell you my opinion in a second. But I think it had the major indices. And then, of course, it had, like, Apple shares, of course, right? Because it was an Apple phone. So I think there's any myriad of embedded kind of, you know, apps that you can just glance at and maybe look at once a day or once a week and just kind of see how the market's going. Or I'm guessing if you're dollar cost averaging into a brokerage account or 529, it's probably held with a Vanguard or something like that. They have an app. And when you download and you log into that app, I'm guessing you just see the market, right? I'm guessing you see the probably what the Dow is doing and the S&P is doing, et cetera. And so you can monitor the market that way. I think the only time that I would say that it might be advantageous to be a buyer is when you go through panics or major, major market declines. So the last one we had was COVID, right? And you don't have to be, you didn't have to have an app on your phone to know the market was down. I mean, everybody's talking about markets. Everybody's talking about this. And then the flip side is 6 months later, everybody was talking about the market going up, right? And all the amazing things that was happening. So there's a murmur that takes place when you get very, very big moves. I've told people who never study the market, and this is just tongue in cheek, but there's probably some truth to it. I'm like, you know, you want to know when to buy the market? Because they're like, well, I'm going to wait till this. I'm like, okay, you want to know when? When you start hearing from people about how terrible the market's doing, that's probably a good time to buy. Like, when you're hearing about that. Now, conversely, when you start hearing from all your friends and family about how great the market is, you're probably going to know, not saying to sell, but I'm saying you probably better prepare yourself for a decline that's coming, because that's kind of usually the way it works. Anyways, I'm done with that. What say you, Ale?
I was really curious to see what angle you took for this, because I've heard you tell the story about, like, during COVID, there were only a few people in our office who invested.
Well, four among our entire client base, and two of them were in the office.
Yeah.
Both Linda and myself were the only two people that put money in the bottom of COVID.
Yeah,
and
which
two
is
other
crazy.
Random people. Yep.
And I think I've heard, obviously, dollar cost averaging a lot. I've never heard someone talk about dollar cost averaging, but then trying to buy when the market's low, which is great. Like, obviously, the goal is to buy low and sell high every time. But I think that there's such a psychological thing when it comes to dollar cost averaging, that was like kind of a surprising, I don't know why that question surprised me so much, like the way to look at it. But I would say, like, generally, this is a hard way to approach even dollar cost averaging, not even like the intent of like, I'm going to wait till it bottoms and then put everything in. Like, she's still dollar cost averaging. But I think the hard part about this is what constitutes low. Like, I still feel like you're kind of playing the psychological game, but not really. But kind of
what constitutes,
like,
high.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if it drops, you know, 3%, then my tendency, if I was trying to do dollar cost averaging in this strategy, is like, okay, cool. That's three. Let's see if we get three more tomorrow. Let's see if we get three more tomorrow. And so I think it's really hard because it feels like you're not playing the game still, because you're like, but I'm dollar cost averaging, but you're still playing the game a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
So
I wouldn't play the game. I mean, again, the two things, if I were to go back to my 20-year-old self and I were to give right now, 25 years old. So how old are you?
25 years
okay,
old.
Okay. Allie, number one, number two. Okay. Number one, stick to index funds. Like, that's it. Okay. Now, you may not, it might not even be your personality to buy an individual stock, whatever. Okay. Stick to index funds. Number two, buy every month. It goes up, buy. Goes down, buy. Goes sideways, buy. It's Tuesday, buy. Next Tuesday, buy. Like, if I were to go back to my 20-year-old self, I would say, do not mess around with individual stocks. That's stupid. And don't try to time the market. That's what I would say to my 20-year-old self. I've done well. I've been very blessed. But holy cow, would I have done that much better? I have evidence. You know my evidence? My 17-year-old son. My 17-year-old son, that when we were 2 and 3, we started putting in every 2 weeks a certain amount of money. And I told you, I think I said the other day, maybe not, I get confused where I say these things. I'm getting older. We hit his goal, his college funding goal that we had set 15 years ago, we hit a year earlier. And my estimated rate of return on that I projected was 8, which means we've done better. Why? Because I kept it simple. So simple. I didn't go, oh, the market's, I think the market's going to correct. I don't want to buy. I'm not going to do this. No, I just bought. When I didn't know, I bought the S&P. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, 17 years old, and that's the money right there. Now I have the luxury because the goal is right around the corner. So guess what I'm doing? I'm taking risk off. It'd be like retiring. Oh, I've hit my goal. Let's back off the risk. Mm-hmm. Now, he's going to a 4-year school, so I'm not going to completely take it off, right? I might go 50-50.
How many yachts can you water ski behind? How much is enough?
It works. It actually works.
Yeah.
I have evidence.
I'm sure that's painful sometimes.
Well, to go like, back and to think where I was. Yeah. And again, I know I can't do it. If I were to go back on all my capital that I put in the market to average a 9 to 10% return. Now people are thinking, Quint, aren't you a financial guy? Like, why didn't you do that? Because I got cute. I thought, well, I'll buy this stock. Oh, I like this stock. I'll try this. Well, I don't like the market here. Now, I would tell clients, no, never do that. I mean, I'm just being candid. Mm-hmm. Stick to the plan, asset allocate, et cetera. But 10 years ago, I'd always think I was smarter. Now, I do none of that. I don't want a thing to do with that now. Thankfully, I'm 46, and I didn't learn that at 66. That would be a shame. Anyways.
I think that's the beauty of having a financial advisor or financial planner, because I find myself kind of in the same boat where, like, I'll tell clients, like, oh, that year, that goal is, you know, 3 years out. Don't invest any of that. Put it in a savings account. Like, why subject yourself to that risk? And then meanwhile, I'm like, but also, should I invest that amount for myself? And having to have those same like internal conversations with myself of like, no, like that's stupid. I know it's stupid. It's just different when it's personal.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure they feel the same way when they're like, well, of course you're going to say that. Like, it's not your money. And you're like, you're right. But
5 years or less,
still the principles.
5 years or less, don't invest.
Yeah.
And then keep it simple.
Yeah.
Ugh. What else? Anything else?
Well, I was going to just like 50,000 foot view talk about dollar cost averaging, because I feel like we haven't done an episode specifically about dollar cost averaging, at least in a while.
Well, keep it short because we're running out of time.
Okay. The short TLDR, too long didn't read, version. The reason to dollar cost average is it takes out of the risk of buying too high or buying too low. And so over time, you're essentially kind of averaging out your share price, which in a way diversifies away some of the risk that's associated with taking huge lump sums and putting it in and hoping that you bought at the right time. Was that brief enough?
That's great.
All right.
Absolutely.
Wrap it up.
We got to get out of here.
Excellent. Hopefully you found some value in that, Courtney. Bravo to you for being an investor and dollar cost averaging and getting started. So keep at it for sure. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very, very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us, and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.